Right. Good morning. Thank you for getting up this early, joining a session on drivers. I figure that the people that will show up in this room this early, they are really dedicated into deployment. This is a session on best practices around driver management, how to find them, how to inject them, how to troubleshoot drivers when you do deploy a machine and you go into Device Manager and there is an exclamation mark on some of the stuff. How do we fix things like that quickly and efficiently? My name is Johan. I will be your host for the next 75 minutes. I've been an IT guy since I was about 10, when I finally convinced my father to buy me a Commodore 64 at the time, with the tape station and everything. But I didn't work in IT until I got 16. I used to go down to a local computer shop after school and help them assemble the computers. It was easy to deploy back then, copying a floppy, done. Now it's more challenging, to say the least. I love questions. So, either just raise your hand, ask the question during the session, or I'm also monitoring this Twitter feed on another laptop on my podium here. I might not have time to answer all questions in the feed, but I will try to answer as many as I can. And those I don't have time to answer in the session, I will make sure to answer when I'm at the airport later on today. All right, so that's the story. Tag the questions with this hashtag, and I will be able to find them. You can also add my alias to it, and that will be easier as well. But the hashtag is the critical part if you want to submit questions through Twitter. This is not a session on driver development. So if there are any driver developers in the room expecting this to be a session on how to develop drivers, not going to happen. We will dive into infiles. That's about it, INF files. But we don't develop drivers in this session. And why not start with a demo? I like slides, but I like demos more. So it'll be more demos than slides. I hope that's okay. So let me go over here. So where do we start to find drivers? I mean, Bing is pretty good, but is that where we start? Maybe not. I would recommend to actually kick off, and if you are deploying HP, you go to HP because you go to the vendor. That's the first choice, obviously, because those drivers have most likely been tested with the hardware you're having. And that will be the supported driver for that hardware as well if you call the vendor for support. But sometimes, especially when there is a new operating system in town, like Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, the vendor seems to be somewhat slow to update all their models. Usually takes them a few months. So sometimes you have to go somewhere else. And that will be the vendor's vendor. Meaning, if I have a Dell machine with an Intel network card, I go to Intel, or I go to Broadcom, or I go to NVIDIA, I go to those more generic drivers, because then they might have drivers quickly for new operating systems than the actual vendor sometimes. I also use Microsoft Catalog. Microsoft stores every single driver ever certified by Microsoft in a catalog, and you can download them from there, and I will show you how it works. And of course, you can also go to the machine itself. I mean, if you already have a working computer that you got from a vendor with the drivers, guess what? They're there on the machine. You can simply extract them and use them for your other deployments as well. This is not 100% foolproof method, because the drivers that we found in the store, they are just plain drivers. Sometimes we have drivers that actually requires a service or an application to be installed. Yeah, then it's not enough just extracting them. Then you actually need those binaries as well. But I will come back to that. So for example, if I'm using HP, let's start with HP. I have two HP laptops here. It makes sense to start with that. They have the SoftPack Download Manager they provide you with. It takes a while to start this utility. And by default, this utility will update itself and it will try to download the catalog through a specific protocol. Do you know that protocol? It's FTP. It's using FTP. Now, is that protocol accessible on all customer networks worldwide? Not so much. So sometimes you actually will see this tool fail to load the catalog or even download the catalog. Now, if you look in the help file for changing the protocol, you'll find nothing. But, I mean, we're all geeks, right? So we'll find a command prompt. We realize that it's actually installed into this location, right? So we'll list all the exe files. Softpack download manager. I must be able to see the switches if I do a slash question mark. No, you don't. You get nothing. At least not nothing useful. But you have a friend in strings, a sysinternals tool, can dump the ASCII text from a binary into a text file. So I can take that and I can take the file and I can pipe it somewhere. If I can type correctly. Boom, I have a text file. I can open that text file. And I can search for stuff like arguments. Seems to be a function in that binary that is named read command line arguments. Wonder what that does. I wonder what this one does. This hidden command line. If you start the application dash force HTTP, it will actually use HTTP instead of FTP. So that could be a good trick when trying to get this tool working in an environment that is not supporting FTP. In this utility, you simply configure what you want to look for, and I have configured this utility to look for English drivers. There is no point of trying to localize drivers. The English driver will work no matter what OS version or language you have. But as the OS filter, I have selected Windows 7 Enterprise, and I have selected Windows 8 Enterprise in the configuration. So simply tick them both here. And then I go back, and I will try to find one of my models here. So EliteBook, I can do my 8560. And it's coming. It's a tad slow, this utility, but it's a work in progress, I guess. It will do the job, even though it's a bit slow. Do you see something missing here if I want to do Windows 8 deployments? I mean, I tagged Windows 8 in the utility. Still, it's not visible. Is it because HP doesn't have Windows 8 drivers? No, it's not that, because they have. It's because that HP feels that Windows editions are a bit special, I think. Because according to HP, there is a difference between Windows 8 and Windows 8. So you actually need to tick Windows 8 also. Or yes, actually. And then, if I expand the same notebook again. Come on, wake up, please. It's coming. Dum 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 dum. What could possibly go wrong in a live demo? I think I actually restart that friend because it appears to be just refreshing the screen right now. Here we go. I've learned over the years, I think it was Mark Rusanovich who once said, there is no excuse for a failing demo. And it's like, all right. When someone like that says something like that, it's sort of a statement. But what I learned over the years is that as long as you fix it, before the end of the session, you're sort of forgiven, because that's our life. That's what we do for a living. We troubleshoot things. You would not be in this room if you haven't done any troubleshooting in your life. And sometimes restarting the app is helpful. All right, I will go back to my Elite book again. Dun-dun-dun. My 8560. Hello. Ta-da. Finally. Whoa. I'm not sure what happened there, but... I would argue and say that the Windows 8 stuff is now here for that model. And now what I can do is I can select that one. And I can say, go ahead and find available softpacks. I'm just going to clear the other ones. Otherwise, I will get a lot of drivers. Whoa. I've been doing this demo quite many times, so this is exciting. All right. 64, find softpacks. So in the right-hand corner, I will now get the drivers for this specific model, eventually. And then I will be able to tag them, and I will be able to download them. I think I know the reason why it's actually is making up on me. There was a new version released this morning when I started the tool. So it upgraded itself automatically to version 3.4.11. And apparently there seems to be some... challenging on that one. I will give it a few more seconds. Let that run in the background to update itself. For Lenovo's, you will use the update retriever. You need to use version 5 to be supported on Windows 8. And when you add stuff to the Lenovo update retriever, you would think that you would be able to actually type in the model that you have, like a ThinkPad T420, because in this version, they actually added a description field here. But when I click Add, select my Windows 8, I get nothing. It says, all right, you must first enter a valid machine type. So why did they even put the field here? You actually need to remember that a 4178 indeed is a ThinkPad T420. Then you can add it, and you can select it, and then you can continue. And it will give you a list of available drivers for that specific model. And you can select a bunch of drivers, and you can go ahead and download them for this Lenovo model. What will happen when you do that is that they will be downloaded to the location that you specify, but they will be downloaded like this. Into an .exe file. It's really difficult to import .exe files. But of course, you can find the magic command line switches to extract them, right? So you can go into this text file, which is the README, and you will see nothing related to extraction. But if you open up the XML file, you will actually see that you need to use the very silent switch and the package path and extract. Or do it simple. Go into the management tool again, go to Manage Repository, click Export Updates, browse to a folder, click Next, select your model, select the drivers, and hit Export. Because when you do, in the file system, you get them like this, extracted. And then you can import them directly into either LightTouch or into Config Manager. Hey, back to HP again. It's alive. So I can select the HP drivers. And then I can select download or download and unpack. And it's the last one you want to do when you have drivers that you want to import. So apparently this new version of SoftPak Download Manager is a bit slower than the previous one, but it worked in the end. All right. What about Dells? Dead easy. Dells are the leading vendor in terms of driver because they started like 5 years ago to provide you with ready-made cab files. And then slowly the other vendors picked up that and, you know, came along. So now Lenovo has their tool, HP has the tool I demonstrated, but this is pretty cool stuff. So in the Dell website, you will find cab files for each model, each business model, and each operating system they support. And you also find actually the boot image drivers. I will come back to them later, but they have a special cab file for boot image drivers, which works for all the Dell machines. HP has that as well. I didn't show it, but if you drill down here, they normally list a WinP package as well. Here we go. So there you can download the WinP drivers for all the HP models. It's not only this laptop, but all of them in one package. In general, when you add drivers to the boot image, don't add more than you need, but this is a good source to find the drivers that you need for the boot image, because sometimes you need to have different drivers in the boot image than you have in the operating system you actually deploy. But I will come back to that later. You can also find drivers at the Microsoft Catalog Update site I talked about before. So if you have a device manager that looks like this, I mean, what's the difference between a base system device and an unknown device? Well, I can figure out that this has an Intel management thing. I can probably realize that this is a card controller of some kind. But what's the difference between this base system and that base system and that base system? I really don't know. What you always can do is you can find a device and you can go to the description and look for the hardware ID. Or if I wanted to do an update for my display adapter. I like gaming, so I like to keep, you know, my graphics card up to date pretty much. So I can actually find the hardware ID, I can copy it, and I can paste it here in the catalog, and I can hit search, and how many results do you think I will get back? Zero. None. Because you need to remove the junk from the search. Remove the revision number so that you only have the device ID and the vendor ID. And then you search, bam, bunch of drivers for that hardware alone. And sometimes the latest driver is not the greatest driver. Sometimes a new version can actually break things, so you might have to go back one version sometimes, but this is where you can quickly find different versions to test with. And you can simply add them all into the basket, and you can download them all at the same time. You can also search for name. So if you're looking for a driver for, say, an authentic printer driver, you can just type in authentic, and it will give you a list of all authentic drivers. And I often use this not only to get find drivers and download drivers, I actually use it to find out the hardware I'm having. Because I will see the name in here when I search for the plug-and-play number, and that sometimes is enough to go back to the vendor site, and instead of searching for the hardware ID, I will search on the name, and that can help me as well. I didn't show you, but in the HP utility, the SoftPak Download Manager, you can actually search for hardware ID here as well. But I think the catalog is great because it has all vendors in it. I did mention a fourth option to get drivers, and that is going into the driver store. I mean, you have on Windows Vista and above, you have a driver store. I will come back to that later, but it's a good thing. And if you sort this file repository by date, you will actually see all the drivers that has been added beyond the inbox drivers. And then you can simply copy and paste them out to the driver folder where you have your drivers. So that's an option as well to find drivers. Could be especially important when you have these two-tier drivers, like broadband adapters, like certain NIC network cards, certain sound cards. Wouldn't mention any vendor, but Sigmatel has that. They often install an application, and that application in turn installs a few more drivers that is not part of the driver's download on the vendor's site. But if you go in here, you can actually find them and copy them and add them to your driver package, and then life is good. So this could be a helpful resource as well. Okay. Now, what can you do to help things? What can you do to limit your pain? Well, first off, don't buy every possible model because you can. I will give you two ends of things. We did a pre-conference last TechEd in Orlando, not this one in New Orleans, but 1 year ago. And we had about 200 people in the room. There was one company that had 20,000 computers. They had two models, period. One laptop, one desktop, that's it. It was a finance organization. They apparently had a lot of money, but they bought them. They only had two. Another customer that I actually had been working with outside Chicago that week, that year, they had almost 300 models, and they were 3,500 people. And I can tell you, having two models is a bit easier to maintain than 300. Actually, 296, but I say 300. Sounds better. By buying larger batches, by limiting to one vendor if you can, that actually helps your life in terms of hardware certifications. Try not to buy as often, but rather larger batches, and that means, of course, maybe even better prices sometimes. Now, when talking about what approach to take to drivers, I tend to be a super control freak when it comes to drivers. I normally go on a per model base where I find the exact list of drivers that I need for a specific model, and then I use that. But by default, how many are using Config Manager in here? A good few of you, I would say 75%. Config Manager as well as MDT LightTouch, they both has a default configuration, and that is to use plug and play for detecting the drivers. So among all the drivers that you actually import, it will simply do a plug and play ID scan, and that method is called Total Chaos. It may work great, it may fail miserably. But if you only have like 5-6 models, this might work quite well for you. If you have 25, probably not. If you have 25 from different vendors, and you also deploy multiple operating systems, I would never in my life rely on plug-and-play ID scanning only. I would start to add in filters or selection profiles or categories in Config Manager to make sure that I at least limit somewhat. But the total control freak is to actually have a list of drivers for each model. So it's basically up to you guys to find where you want to be on this scale. From total chaos to total control. Now, I talked about boot images before. The current version of WinP is using Windows 8 as the source. So you need Windows 8 drivers for it. And WinP is also not supporting all drivers that Windows does. For example, these two-tier drivers I talked about before, the Sigmatel, the Broadcom, and the Intel, those drivers, they doesn't work very well in WinP, so you need to find a monolithic driver for WinP. And it's not always named monolithic on the vendor side. It's sometimes named driver for RIS, the old Windows Deployment Service. It can be drivers for WinP, or it can simply be they have a specific, like Dell and HP, they have a cap file with those drivers. Now, with ADK 8.1, which was released this week or the day before yesterday, you get WinP 5, which will use Windows 8.1 drivers. But so far, I haven't seen any changes in the driver model between 8 and 8.1. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I haven't seen it yet. So far, the Windows 8 drivers will work happily fine, even in Windows WinP 5. Now, this means that even if you deploy Windows 7, or God forbid, still deploy Windows XP, you actually need to have the Windows 8 drivers in your boot image. And you need to have the normal operating system drivers as well added. Now, in MDT Light Touch, you simply import the drivers into the deployment share, and then we can use various filters or properties to limit what drivers are being added to the machine. So let me go ahead and show you that. So this is my LightTouch server. This is my production deployment share. This is my out-of-box drivers. This is where you import drivers in LightTouch. As you can see, I have created two folders. I've created two WinP folders because I like to limit or restrict or have them separately, the boot image drivers, because it makes sense to me. So I've only added the boot image drivers in here. And then I have created a selection profile, which that's a filter. And that filter is, of course, limited to that folder. So I have a filter named WinP32, and I'm limiting it to that folder. Now, in my deployment share properties, if I go to WinP, if I go to drivers, this is where you can see I'm using that filter. Because by default, MDT will happily inject every storage class driver and network class driver into the boot image that you have in the entire repository. So yes, I have seen boot images 450 megs in size. Not very good. Add only the drivers you need, and this is how you filter them out. I actually submitted to the team, can you please just create those folders from the beginning so people don't inject old crap into their boot images? No. So you have to create the folders yourself. The reason you should not import them all is, for example, by importing net class drivers, you also get wireless. And I don't know how many wireless deployments you guys do. It's a bad thing. And WinP will actually try to load that driver if it's present. And normally it fails. But sometimes it takes so long to load that driver in the boot image, so the normal network driver fails. Because Windows PE has about 30 seconds to get the network uploaded before Config Manager, or in this case LightTouch, actually wants to start the deployment. And then you get an error saying either no policies found or couldn't find or connect to the deployment share. But this is how you fix that. Then you can, of course, have a folder named Windows 8 where you just add in the drivers randomly into one giant list. That's the default total chaos method. What I recommend to do is actually divide it into folders where you also add in the model. So when you go to the 8560, this is where I've imported my 8560 drivers. And to make this work, I simply go into my sequence. Go to the steps that inject drivers, and I add a driver group property. Driver group 001, I specify the Windows 8 64-bit folder, and then I use the percent model percent property. This is the same in Config Manager as in LightTouch. When you start the deployment, what that will do, it will run the gather process quite in the beginning, but it will actually learn your model. That will be a field that it's actually reading. It's a script that calls WMI, and it finds out the model name. As long as the name of your folder is matching what you have on the machine, you get a match. So if I wanted to support this model, I will simply copy and paste that one. I will go back to my folder structure, and I will create a folder also for the 8540. And then I would, of course, add my drivers for that model. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the right-hand corner of everything you do in the workbench, there is a View Script button that will give you the PowerShell script to do the same thing. And that is also the same if you do right-click and do Import Drivers. Couldn't you use PowerShell to simply populate this? Maybe. PowerShell is king. This was an old blog I had years ago. I thought the name was bright at the time. DeployVista.com. It's now an archive. My new blog is Deployment Research. But in that blog, you'll find a PowerShell script for MDT 2010 and 2012. If you have a folder structure on your hard drive with the driver, with the OS, and the models, you simply run the script, and it will create the folders in the workbench and import all the needed drivers in the correct folders. So you want to refresh your driver store, bam, run the script, and you have a new store. So what I always do, and that's no matter if I'm working with Config Manager or LightTouch, I always maintain a driver repository where I have a few hundred models from, you know, all customers been visiting over the years. I always maintain this source because that always allows me to start from the beginning when importing drivers into either LightTouch or Config Manager. But what you also need to do in LightTouch to get this working is it's not enough just to add that property I was talking about. You also need to go into the next step and say nothing, because otherwise it will try to inject drivers also from other folders. And this one you also need to set. This one means disable plug and play ID detection. I don't agree with the label of that radio button, but this is what it means. It means disable. Because if you do, it will now add only the drivers that you have in that folder to the driver store. Even if the device is not present or turned on the machine at that point, it will still stage it. And the benefit of having a driver store is a normal user, a standard user in Windows 7 or Windows 8, can now actually install that device. Because you as an admin staged it into the store, and it will be called by the local system, the plug-and-play service, that actually installs the driver. So you can also use this to add in extra drivers, scanners, phones, various stuff that you connect to a machine. You can point it at the store. So the question is, can't I have a driver group 002 to add in additional stuff like scanners? Absolutely, I could. So that's why you saw me. Actually, I had an extra stuff folder that I normally add as well. So absolutely, that's correct. So that was LightTouch. What about Config Manager? Same story. By default, total chaos. By default, it will do a plug-and-play ID detection of the drivers that you inject. The filters in Config Manager are called categories. They can be created by you and then selected in your sequence, or you can have the sequence programmatically actually select them depending on model type if you like to do some scripting. But the driver catalog still using plug and play within the catalog unless you say you want all the drivers. I tend to use the other one here, the second bullet. I tend to use driver packages because they do not use plug and play by default, and they work with every hardware available, every operating system available, even works with good old XP if you want to do driver injection for that, even for storage drivers for XP. It works with everything. Now, When I do a driver packages, I try to limit them on the per model basis. So let me show that. This time I will jump to my Config Manager server. This is Config Manager 2012 SP1 CU1. I didn't update to CU2 even though it was released a few days ago. But in terms of drivers, this is the driver repository. This is where I would right-click and say import drivers. There is no point of creating folders, or little point of creating folders, because that's what I did in 07, a lot. But if I have a folder now, I can't do search folders. It's being removed. And I can't right-click a folder and say import driver. You can see it's being grayed out, actually. So you would actually have to do here, or be here, and then do import drivers. So if I want to import a driver, I will simply specify a source. And again, I'm pointing to the same source that I was using for LightTouch. I'm always maintaining a driver source that I keep clean. So for example, if I have Dell models, I will download the Dell cab file. I will do some additional cleaning because they are a good start. They're not perfect. For example, for the M6700, that driver packet is 1.2 gigabyte that you download. You don't need all that. You can remove some parts of that to reduce that to a few hundred megs. So I always do that, but I maintain my source. But in this case, I'm selecting a driver source, not packages, and a model. And during that import, I will tag them with something that makes sense to me. You can tag them with everything, but I think it makes sense to actually give a hint on the OS that's supposed to be used for, and maybe the model that you're supposed to use the driver with. If you want to tag them with whatever, I don't care, but this is a good thing to actually tag them with something. Because tagging allows you to search for them in the console. Let me go back one sec here, and this is a new option in 2012. This is where you can specify how we will handle duplicate drivers. By default, it will simply add the driver, single instance, but still allow you to add new categories, because that allows you to have one driver that is being tagged with multiple models without taking the twice space in the initial driver store. Then the new content library will make sure that only one copy of each file is being actually replicated to all the distribution points. So what we've seen typically between CMO7 and CMO12 is like a reduction in half, 50% reduction in terms of network traffic for the driver packages, because the new content library is so very efficient in only replicating files that are unique for that distribution point. Anyway, if I import that driver and select the category, it will appear in my store or in my driver repository. And then, of course, I can search for that driver. I can search for 8560. And it will list me all available drivers for 8560. And then I can select one or more drivers, and I can go to usage, and I can actually see what package or packages this specific driver is in. Do not delete drivers here from the repository. If you do a delete, it will delete them from every single package that is using that driver. If you want to remove a driver from a package because you're going to do an update, why not go here and simply say edit driver packages, and that allows you to either add or remove it to one or more packages. Same goes with boot images. In Config Manager, you can go either to the boot image itself, you go to properties, you go to drivers, and you can add drivers here from the repository. Problem is, where do I find my WinMP drivers? Can be difficult to find. Or why not, during import, tag them with WinMP so you can search for WinMP drivers. And then you can select your drivers. You can right-click and say Edit, Boot Images. And you can add them to one or more boot images at a single time. I think that's easier than going to the boot image. But either way will work. Once I have a driver package, this case one for Windows 7, which was migrated, and this one is new for Windows 8, this is simply listing all available drivers. And then I will go into my sequence, this one, and I would go ahead and disable the default auto apply, disable plug and play, and I will add a drivers node here, and then I will start to add in my driver packages. And each package that I have, I will set a condition to. In this case, I'm using a WMI query and say, all right, select star from where model likes and the 8560. Now, this works great for HP. It will fail big time for Lenovo's, because Lenovo's, their model name is like 4178 and 123, where the last three characters is the sort of a batch or country it was ordered in or something like that. So for Lenovo's, it makes sense to actually use a different query. So for Lenovo's, I'm using system product, because system product will actually return this rather than this. For Panasonic, I will use the baseboard, because that will give me the real Panasonic product name instead of their fabric batch number thing. And sometimes I found customers, they have not HP, not Lenovo, not Fujitsu, not Panasonic, not Toshiba, not all these normal brands. They have home-built machines. There is no model number. There is no way officially to identify them by model. So how do you do? Well, you can actually use something that was normally used, is normally used for storage drivers, but you can actually filter on plug-and-play identity, or plug-and-play entity. So you can say if the device ID is something, or a combination of device IDs are something, then I know it's this machine that needs the following drivers. And by the way, this one is wrong. What's the wrong with this one? What's incorrect in this query? You need to have double separators, because that's how it's stored in WMI. Otherwise, it will return false. Or, why not get intelligent? And by intelligent, I mean you can take this logic and actually store it in the file, and then you can have LightTouch and Config Manager actually use that logic instead of you having to go into every package and remember that for Lenovo it's that query, and for Panasonic it's that query, and for HP it's that query. So what you can download from the Deployment Guys webpage is a model alias script. That script, let me open it for you. Looks something like this. This script simply contains the necessary logic. For example, this script will detect if it's a Dell such and such and such, and it will respond with Dell. Or if it's a Lenovo or IBM, it will say Lenovo. Any of these, it will return with HP and such. I'm using this to normalize the stuff that Config Manager and LightTouch finds out about my machine. And for example, if I go back to the Lenovo here, what it will do, if it detects it's a Lenovo, it will actually call this function. If you want to have an exception, you can have that. But otherwise, you simply say, scrap that, and use this. Go to this function, which will change how it's being called. You can see it's doing a system product instead of normal model. So this is just a VB script that contains the intelligence around detecting drivers. So how can I make sure we use this script? Well, copy, paste, any file. This is all you need. Add a section named whatever you like it to be. I named it a hardware info. And you call the script. This is the same for Light Touch as for Config Manager. Because if you do, you can, first of all, you can test it. You can simulate this. You can go to a machine, if you type correctly, and you can run the simulation, running the gather script that will in turn call the user exit, and it will show you what the model alias is for this machine. So I open up the log file again and search for model alias. You can see that model alias is my value. And that alias will be correct for now, HP, Toshiba, Fujitsu, Panasonic, all them. I don't have to know anymore what WMyQuery to use. And then in Light Touch, I would simply go in here into my sequence and change driver group into model alias percent. Because then I can name my folders to what the models really are. In Config Manager, to do the same thing, I do this. Instead of having a complex WMI query, I go ahead and remove it, and I say sequence variable, add sequence variable, model alias, whoops, equals whatever it was. I mean, either way will work, but to me, this is a bit more simplified than to remember all the WMI queries you used to have. If I got this documented on my website, no, I don't, but I have it in my book. You can actually find, first of all, I have a link to all the sample scripts in the end of the session, in the session slides. But that particular script, if you search for the deployment guy's blog here, deployment guys and model alias, it's volume 4, yes. You will actually find the script. Or you can actually go to a very good friend of mine, Michael Nystrom. He has his own site, the Deployment Bunny. He also has a version of that script that he's been modifying, adding some new features to it. So either way, you'll find it. And he's actually one of the authors as well in the book. So there is a relationship there. Nice. Kindle version is good. It's easier to carry around, at least. Search as well, yeah. So I think this is quite nice, to simply call in intelligence and use it as part of my deployment here. Any other questions related to either Light Touch or Config Manager in terms of injecting the drivers? Is it, yes? So to summarize the question, what about if I don't want to use the ini file at all? Can't I use something similar as well and call it directly from the sequence? Of course you can. It's just how you collect these properties. I'm just happen to be a great fan of this ini file because it allows me to simulate the deployment, to do what I did, to test things real quick in a command prompt and verify that I get everything correct. So the comment was, yeah, I saw you do this yesterday. Yeah, I did a full session on this in the file yesterday. But this is very important to me to be able to simulate and test things quickly rather than have to do a full deployment to test something. But either way will work. But there is one thing we have not touched yet, or I haven't touched yet, and that is not drivers are equal. You will find that sometimes you deploy a machine, a Lenovo, and you realize that the Intel wireless driver wasn't as good as it should be when you deployed it. So how do we update drivers? What's the Microsoft story around updating drivers once a machine is deployed? First of all, don't update drivers just because there is a new driver version. If you have a working platform, if you have certified a model, don't touch it if it's working. Updating drivers, for me, it's a break fix when something is actually broken. I was working with one customer in Munich, and I thought they did a superior trick in terms of finding out problematic drivers. It turns out that in Windows, as you guys probably know, by the way, where did he go, my friend? There is a reliability, monitor. That was a carrot. This one will list the health of machines over time. When they crash, what drivers that crash, and things like that. This information can be retrieved through PowerShell. So they were running a PowerShell script on every machine once a week, and they stored it back on a server in a small database, and they had a web page that would display the models that were crashing the most. They had like 100 models, but because of querying this info and gathering it centrally, they were able to see 2 or 3 models were actually crashing often than others. They might need updated BIOSes, they might need updated drivers, they might even need to replace those models because there could be a generic issues with those models. But using this information, you can actually find. And once you find that, how do you get that driver out there? How do you update a driver? Config Manage doesn't do it. LightTouch doesn't do it. And do not enable Windows Update and drivers, because that will update everything. You want to pinpoint the driver. You want to fix that broken wireless driver only. Exactly. If you have Config Manager, you can simply create a package and pull out or deploy that driver. So how do you find that package? Well, first of all, if you're lucky, the vendor has it for you. I was showing you the Lenovo stuff before, and I was complaining about Lenovo having .exe files. But in this case, that's actually quite good. If I want to do an app to update the driver, Lenovo already have that application. And by reviewing the text file again, remember the silent switches, this is what you run. You create a package or an application and you simply push it out with these switches, and then that update driver will be updated. For HP, bit more challenging, but if you right-click a driver, you can say either release notes or you can say CVA. That text file will also give you sometimes command line switches, not always, but at least it's a good starting point to try to figure out the silent switches for that driver. But what if you don't have a setup from the vendor? What if you only have a driver and you still need to update it? Are you going to add it into Config Manager and redeploy the computer to add a driver? No. There is a good friend. It's called the Driver Installation Framework. It's a free download from Microsoft. And that framework contains this utility. You have probably seen this, because some of the vendors, they're actually using this. Like Intel Wireless is using this utility for their drivers. But you can use this utility to create your own package and install it through this utility, and then you can publish that through Config Manager. If you have light touch, well, you need to distribute applications in other means because light touch doesn't really have this agent and push mechanism. You can still do it remotely, PSEC and stuff, and group policies, whatever, but it's way easier if you have config manager. But this is how you can update existing drivers. All right. Now, it turns out that things can go wrong. First thing, what about sign drivers? What about the way Windows detects what drivers that are missing? I mentioned before, what if you go into Device Manager and you find these exclamation marks and you try to figure out why? Because you know that you actually added the correct driver into the console. But yet when you deploy the machine, it still says an exclamation mark in Device Manager. How do you troubleshoot things like that? Well, if we start with unsigned drivers, they will be, for 32-bit systems, they will be accepted. But they will come in last when Windows does the ranking about what drivers to actually use. 64-bit system, it will just fail. So moral of that story, don't use unsigned drivers. But what if you have a network card, or as one customer I was working with, a fiber channel adapter, they needed to change the INF file a little bit. What if you have a graphics card that you need to change the INF file for? What happens when you change a single byte in an INF file? You break the signing. And then Config Manager will complain even when you do the import. I mean, you're probably seeing that when you do an import in Config Manager, it actually parses the drivers. In CMOS 7, you can just create a packet without doing the import, which I love, but was not supported, but I loved it. Now in CMOS 12, you can't do that anymore, so it will break the import. So the solution is, of course, to find an idiot who has described a fix. Here we go. Wow, sorry. Thank you. I was just searching for this article. The search I did was the following. My last name and then sign your drivers and a word. This is just a step-by-step, five steps, what tools to download, and how to sign your own drivers, if needs be. I mean, if you already tested a driver and you want to install it, why not sign it? And then it will work for ranking, it will work for 64-bit and everything. And this will take like 5 minutes, 10 minutes to do. Quite simple. A few more steps and then you have a driver signed. What if you don't want to do all this stuff manually in Config Manager? I mean, I showed you in Light Touch, I can run a PowerShell script to do all this. You can do that in Config Manager too. In SP1, Microsoft added in PowerShell commandlets, a bunch of them. But even before that, you can do this for PowerShell. And if you go to my blog, you will find a script for some friends in Denmark. There we go. Driver import script. You have the drivers in the folder. You run the script, and you'll find them in the console. You will find them tagged correctly from the folder name, and you'll find the driver packages automatically created with the correct drivers in them. So you can just have a folder structure, you run the PowerShell script, you take a long break, a really long break. You go home for the day, actually. And then you come back in the morning, and then you will have all the packages in there. I run this script for 125 models. It took 9 hours. But it would have taken me more hours to do it manually in the console. Because I don't know what I did with that parsing, but it's slow. But again, it's automated. I don't really care. And this is also a way to actually migrate packages from C17 that was unsupported into supported packages in O12. You run this script as well. Otherwise, you can just copy them if you did import them in CMO7. I use this to actually get a fresh start in terms of drivers. All right. Signing, what about ranking? Well, to get drivers troubleshoot drivers, you need to understand how Lightouch and Config Manager goes about things when it's actually injecting the drivers. So both Lightouch and Config Manager does the following. One, the sequence will copy the drivers to the C drive. Not to the root, but you get the point. And this copying will be depending on if you're using auto apply or apply driver packages or if it's light touch, but it's the sequence that actually calls a script that does the copying. Then, a bit later, a second component will be called, and that's DISM. That will be called through either the setup offline servicing or directly as a command line, which Config Manager does. And DISM will actually inject drivers into the driver store. Then the machine will reboot from WinPE, go back into the equivalent of the mini setup, meaning the specialized base or pass. So setup will install the drivers. Now, is it any point for you to troubleshoot these steps if the driver was never copied? No, there is no point. So how do you troubleshoot this step, the first step? What can you, for Lightouch, how can you troubleshoot the first step? There is a log file you can review. BDD log, that's for Lightouch. What about Config Manager? SMST is log. What's the problem with this log file? What is it not to like about this log file? It gets truncated, yes. It will store only 1 megabyte. Then it will create an archive, but only one archive. And a sequence normally generates about 4 to 5 megabytes of data. And you don't really need to go to any higher education to realize it's difficult to fit 5 meg of content into a 2 megabyte buffer. So sometimes when you go into this log file and you look for the stuff that was supposed to help you troubleshoot things, the information is gone. So how do you fix that problem? You increase the size of the log file. In Config Manager 12, and this is also applicable for 07 actually, they didn't change this, but if you place a file called smstsini in the Windows folder of your boot image, it will be read. And as you can see, I've added in instructions to say 10 megs rather than 1 meg. This is what I do for all my deployments. I think it makes sense to do that. You can do optional logging level. Config Manager has 4 logging levels. Number 1 is default. Log level 0 is maximum. And you can also turn on debugging, which will give you additional logging information as well. But this one is the important one. And if you do that, it will work through the entire WinPE phase, and then it will go back to 1 megabyte once the client is installed. So to have this work all the way, you will go to your sequence here, and find the setup config manager action. And then you add almost the same command, CCM log max size, and then 10 megs. Warning, this will change the log file size for every log file on the client. You may have quite a few of them. But what if I have 2 gig of log files? Do I really care? Not really, no. If you don't have that space available, you should not be deploying Windows 7 or Windows 8. So you might as well increase it. But just a bit of a warning if you increase this. Or why not simply look on the C drive? I promise, if the driver is not there, it will never be injected. Search for it. Dir/S or PowerShell, whatever you like. All right, we assume the driver was indeed copied to the C drive. How do we troubleshoot the next step? How do we troubleshoot the actual injection into the store? DSM log and I can look in the store, but it just because I can see the driver in the store, it's not a guarantee that everything was, you know, perfect, but that's a good way. You can look in the store. You can also look in the CBS log file, or you can actually look in the setup act log file. And that's depending on which component that did the injection here. They may be in the Panther folder, depending on when you look at it. Because this file jumps around into 7 different locations during deployment. So you may have to hunt it. But in the end, as you said, yes, it will end up in the Windows Panther folder. If you want to have a copy of these files on the server automatically, how do you do? Yes, custom settings in a file. This, let me show you that. I will do the config manager one, but it's the same for LightTouch. Here we go. This one, that line, will tell config manager if something goes wrong, copy the log files, or when you have a successful deployment, copy the log files. And it will create a subfolder on the server for each computer name. And that one is actually the logic to find the correct setup file. So what's the most common reason a driver failed to inject? Because the driver is broken. It could be for the incorrect. It could be a server driver for a client OS, or it could be a simply the vendor did something wrong in the driver. So you may have to fix the driver, sign it again, and try again. But these log files will tell you. For light touch deployments, the most common reason for failing drivers in this step is that you run out of scratch space. Because they're using the scratch space in WinPE to extract the driver and then inject it. Config manager sets the temp variable to the C drive or whatever drive you're deploying to, and then extracts the driver to that one. But light touch does it in memory. And memory by default is 32. And NVIDIA driver is like 80, at least. And again, it's difficult to take 80 megs and fit it into a 32 meg memory buffer. So for light touch, what I recommend for drivers is actually go to your production deployment share, go to your boot image, set the scratch space size to 128, and then life is good. You can do it to more, but I haven't needed more than 128 so far. Then maybe tomorrow NVIDIA releases a new driver, and then it might be bigger. If you have 1 gig machine or above, there is no harm of actually increasing this to 512. That's fine. That's actually going to happen now in WinP5. It will now detect how much memory you have and automatically set the scratch space size. But currently in LightTouch, you need to set it. And I also actually recommend to set it in Config Manager. Not for drivers, though, because that will work anyway. But just because sometimes you have scripts, you have log files that are increasing in size, and they are being stored in memory as well. So I recommend set it to 128 in Config Manager too. And then the final step is that setup will actually install the driver. How do you troubleshoot that step? You can see it was copied, you can see it was injected, but yet when you go into Device Manager, it's yellow. You have the exclamation mark. For Windows 7 and 2008 R2, 2008 of course, but setup api.dev.log. That file will list all drivers that was installed at deployment time and since deployment time. So this is actually how we can also troubleshoot stuff that you install afterwards, like a printer driver or a USB scanner, whatever. For Windows 8, a bit different. This one, or This one. For some odd reason, different drivers, different types of drivers in Windows 8, logs to different files. If that's a bright idea, I don't know. But you simply have to look in both files to see if the driver was there. For Windows 7, it's easier. Just review that file. So I happen to have one that I can show you. I can do this one. And I will actually decrease the font a bit so I can zoom in on it. Because sometimes, I mean, this is a driver, a keyboard driver. You can see that the setup was searching in the repository for drivers. It found one. And if it only finds one, I will say there is little argument about what driver is going to be injected. It will be that driver. Okay. Or installed. But sometimes you actually see it will find two or more drivers. And obviously it's, you can see here, it's selecting the best. Yeah, I could understand that. So which is the best? I mean, I have two drivers here. How do you know which driver that actually is the best? The ranking score will tell you. The lower the ranking, the better the score. Lower rank, better score. Winning driver. So in this case, it was actually the lower driver that was winning because the ranking score was lower. If you need to interpret this ranking, the first two ifs the signature, if it's signed or not signed, but both drivers were not signed, or were signed. The next one is the feature score, which the vendor can add to a driver. If a driver doesn't have a feature score, it will be a double F, which is a pretty bad value when low is winning and we have hex. So for example, if I would open up that Intel driver I was showing you before, in Lenovo's case, Intel normally sets their drivers to a feature score of 80. That's sometimes why a driver is winning, because the feature score is lower or better. And the final four of the number is how well it's matching the plug-and-play ID. Because if I go into device, in device manager, if I go to my driver again, my NVIDIA, a driver that is matching this specific ID will get a lower ranking than a driver that is matching this ID. So again, sometimes in rare scenarios, you need to modify the driver to have it pick a specific driver before another. But as always in Config Manager and LightTouch, by learning the processes in the background, you can troubleshoot this quite easy. If you want to learn more, if you go to this site, deploymentartist.com, we have collected a bunch of resources, videos, links, books, trainings, in one single spot, all related to deployment, LightTouch mixed with Config Manager. And I've been asked to show you this. Please fill in the evals of the session, as always. Be honest, but gentle. And thank you. Have a great, great final tech ed.